Welcome to Human Potential at Work, the show where we explore social impact, inclusion, and empowerment of everyone, including persons with disabilities. Your host is Deborah Rue, CEO of Rue Global Impact, and co-founder and chairwoman of Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring billions of voices of persons with disabilities together. To join the global community and to donate to the cause, visit billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org. And now, on to the episode.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah Rue, and I'm the CEO of Rue Global Impact. Also, very proud to be the executive chair of Billion Strong. Billion-strong.org, a free movement. Please, please, please sign up for it. We need you so much. And I'm excited about my guest today. As you know, I'm always excited about my guests, but I really am excited about what he's doing. It's fascinating. And it's a different way of doing things. And I definitely want y'all to know about it. And I want the corporations to know that want to come in and help. UN, you're involved in some of this. Governments, it's very important that all of our stakeholders come together. But Pedro, also my guest today, is very proud to be a member of our community, our 1.3 billion, which is probably so many more people than that. And so today I have Pedro Costa, who is the CEO of Oracle.io. And there's a lot of different ways to say that. That's my Southern accent saying it. But I will just say very quickly, today I am wearing a black hat and a purple shirt and a red shirt and blue glasses. I'm very brightly colored today, and I still have my gray and my purple hair. And thank y'all so much for listening to the program and for supporting what we're doing, because, you know, Pedro is an engineer, but we need to make sure we're supporting our entrepreneurs that are part of our community that are really trying to make the world a better place. And that's one reason why we do this show. So, Pedro, do you mind telling the audience who you are, giving us a visual description, and telling us a little bit, you know, about Oracle?
Yes, I will. Hello, everybody. I'm Pedro. Yes. So I guess I will start by the description. I'm a 38-year-old, you could say Caucasian, I guess, with a beard, with a dark beard, and no hair anymore. I'm wearing glasses, round glasses, and a gray shirt, and I have black pants, and I'm crossing my legs because I feel really relaxed, and I really like to have my legs crossed. And I'm sitting in my office here in Copenhagen. It's a kind of a small office. We're currently three people in this office, and then we have people abroad as well. We're in the center of the city, and it's nighttime now. So that's the description I can do. And I have my logo in the back in the wall shining, so people remember that.
Right. So you don't look Danish. So
I don't. No. So I'm originally Portuguese. I've been abroad for 17 years. I was born in the south of Portugal, which is very sunny, and it's where all the tourists go, actually. So I was born and raised in a very international environment. You end up like realizing, you know, the world is not just that little place. That's and great. Since very early, I actually wanted to leave that place for several reasons, which I will explain throughout this session. But I really love my hometown and my home country still, and has beautiful things there. But I'm also very happy in Denmark, and I have a Danish girlfriend and two cats. So yeah, I'm happy here.
Well, I'm 15% Danish, so
that's good.
Yeah, but I'll just tell you something I recently heard from Antonio Santos, who's Portuguese. He does Access Chat with me. He said there are a lot of Americans relocating to Portugal.
That's correct.
A lot of Americans. And so, it is very cosmopolitan. So,
Especially to Lisbon. That's the capital.
Yes. That's where he lives. Yes.
Yes.
He lives in Lisbon, and he also lives in Cork, Ireland. So he is both places. But I've learned a lot about Portugal through being his friend over years, including, which we were talking about a little off air, Portugal isn't, and I mean this not in a bad way, but Portugal is not very supportive of entrepreneurs. It's a different type of culture. Some cultures are much more supportive of entrepreneurs than others. And I remember Antonio talking to me about that. And he's saying, actually, if you start a business and you fail, which by the way, 80% of businesses fell in the first year, I believe, you know, that it's really people look down on you about that. So there's some cultural type barriers, which I was fascinated with because in the States, as you know, we applaud being an entrepreneur, and part of being an entrepreneur is failing over and over and over again and getting up and still. Yeah. So it's interesting, the cultural differences.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been away for a long time. I do have to say that things are changing slowly, but back in the day when I was there and I was trying to start this adventure, people would say like, no way, dude, don't even think about it. So I think what they're really trying to say is that it's very high risk. And in Portugal, people think a lot about the risks because the culture, and both culturally, but also economically, it's been struggling for quite some time. But in their defense, though, the last maybe 4 years or so since the Web Summit has started, this event in Lisbon, there's been a shift of mentality and things are slowly moving. But it's still, you know, it's mainly the big cities, and then everything else is kind of like, you know, you do what needs to be done there more than you do what you really want to do. So mm-hmm. I come from a touristic town. So
well, you do tourism.
I don't want to do tourism. Yeah. Right. So I go there to eat and go to the beach and then I leave again, you know.
It's a beautiful country, that's for sure. But yeah. All right. So let's talk about what you have around your neck right now, because I can see you have something around your neck, which I think is relevant to our conversation. So talk to us more about what you're doing.
I will. Can I start with actually like my life story a little bit?
Oh, because I
think it kind of makes like a more progressive, so people really understand the reasoning. But so if I start from the very beginning, I was born with a hearing loss. And that has shaped me immensely, not only the obvious, which is I can't hear as loud or as much as a normal hearing person, but psychologically you develop your own way of thinking, you could say, because you're exposed to life in a different lens as you would be if you had normal hearing, just like any other condition or any other particularity. So I was born with it, and also in a kind of a small town, and you don't really relate with a lot of people because it's a very particular thing. So I don't remember. I think the first time I met another person with a hearing loss, I was like 25 or something. Yeah, exactly. So wow. So it's like it's sort of an invisible thing, right? People don't talk about it, you don't see it. So like chances are people think that you're a little bit crazy because they say something you don't really understand. You say something back that doesn't make 100% sense. And then they go like, what's wrong with this person? And a lot of people have this self-stigma. They don't really talk about it because they have all kinds of emotions associated to it. So it's a huge thing, but we can talk more about that later. So basically, you know, I developed my own understanding of myself and of what I should do and who I am and what I'm here for. So when I was, I've been a musician since I was 7, because the ear doctor from very early on told my parents, you know, maybe you should let him have a healthy relationship with sound, with all kinds of sonic stuff. Maybe it'll be better for him. And it was better to the point where I became completely obsessed with music and I play different music instruments. So then from there, and from all my existence kind of thing kind of materialized into, I need to know more about this. I need to become a professional at this to a certain degree. And I need to get out of this place because here I cannot grow in that direction. So that took me on a journey. So I left to. So that took me on a journey. So I left to the UK, to Wales, actually, where I studied sound engineering as a bachelor's.
From Wales.
And then I came to Denmark to study acoustics. Which is the physics of sound. And I don't know if you know, but Denmark is probably the number one in hearing aids in the world. And there's a really amazing university here called the Danish Technical University, and they have really, really good education program for acoustics. So I fell in love with everything. I ended up staying, and now I've been here for 13 years. I've worked with hearing aids development, and that's like, so that whole journey has transported me into eventually I have to try to make a difference myself. So that's how 4 years in the making, now I have these guys right here.
Right, and, but also,
yeah,
I think you mentioned it briefly, but you're an engineer.
I'm an engineer, yes. So I studied acoustics in here, in the university here, and sound engineering before that. So yeah, I've been working in R&D for more than 10 years. So yeah, and so I knew both from an engineer point of view / musician, because it's really good to be a musician as well when it comes to sound and understanding sound in another way. And being a person with a hearing loss and a hearing aid user. So if you mix all this up, you have kind of a unique perspective that not a lot of people have. So then I kind of, yeah, I have all this experience and I know as a user what could be done that is not being done at this point that could make a difference for people like me. So I started developing these basically with my engineering skills, and it's been 4 years. It's almost in the market. It takes a while.
It's in the market. Sorry? Hardware and software. Yeah, that's a challenge. But Pedro, before we go into that, do you mind just talking a little bit about the complexity of the deaf community? Because one thing that I have always admired is how, what a strong community the deaf culture has. I mean, the deaf community has a very, very, very strong culture. I know that also there's some fussing and fighting that go on, you know, between lip readers versus, you know, hearing aid users versus, you know, all the different things. And so do you mind just exploring that topic a little bit? Because I'm so impressed with the pride of the community, but at the same time, and the community coming together, but I also see fractions. And so I was just curious if you wouldn't explore that a little bit, because that's going to tie nicely into what you're going to talk about, bone conduction and things like that. So,
yeah. So I'm not sure I can explain it from a like social perspective, but I think I can explain it from an engineer perspective. / what I know of myself and others that I've met until now. But I think essentially it all spans from the fact that when you have a hearing loss, you can't put it all in one bag. Like, right. It's kind of a spectrum, you know, and you have like, it's actually, there's different like scales of hearing loss. You have mild, moderate, severe, profound, and then you have deaf. So depending on where you are in the scale, you have different needs. Well, of course, if you think about it, like as a whole, it's all, you know, you have the need to hear, but you have a different scale. Therefore, it's like it's an isolated thing in itself. Like it needs different solutions, it needs different approaches to deal with it. And so that ends up creating, you know, different segments, you could say. So if you have different segments, then you need different kinds of products. You need different kinds of communication tools. You need to address different needs. So that's true. There's like so many organizations out there, especially like nonprofit organizations, and there's quite a number of them. But ultimately, what I've been exposed to, because I come from a place of ignorance, you know, in Portugal, there's a lot of ignorance about all this. At least there used to be. I don't know now. It's been a while.
They're working, but they got a lot of work to do, which we all do. We all do.
Right,
but,
exactly. Yeah. And I think the doctor has a huge role on what you learn about it. And then the solutions that the doctor give you also have a huge role. There's a lot of stigma on it, which makes it even harder to address. Like I haven't started, I only started, even though I have hearing aids since I was like 7, but I only started using, like really using, only when I was 17. So there is a lot of like self-stigma and stigma of others. It's also depending on the culture you're living in. So that also creates a lot of self-protection, right? Because you get, right.
And that's one thing at Billion Strong we're seeing. It's like, we do want to change society's mind, but we actually have to change our own minds too, because a lot of people that have experienced a lot of stigma have sort of taken some of that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it shapes people completely, you know, like who they are, and how they react and how they perceive the world. And some people are, I mean, it's not only hearing, it becomes mental, right? I've met many different types of profiles when it comes to people with hearing loss, and people who are like totally okay, no problem, I don't care, I just put them on, everything is great, I can hear the birds again. And then there's other people, it's like, this technology is horrible, I'll never want it. So it's like, it's completely different for each case is one case. So it's really a complex picture.
That's why if you want to understand more about these topics, invite Pedro to speak for you, because we need to be including the experts in the community. So it is complicated. It is. And I just want to say, before you leave this particular thing, you had said the doctor, of course, that's where we're going to go. But I also am finding, and I can't speak for Portugal, or, you know, probably this is true in Denmark, but we also see educators coming in and getting involved in these conversations. And now we're seeing employers. Now, you assume they're going to start with the doctors, but it is interesting how people are getting help, because it isn't always with the doctor, which I'm fascinated with, but sometimes it's not. So have you also seen that, Pedro? Are you finding there's other stakeholders besides just the doctors involved in these conversations, or maybe we need to have them more involved?
This is a really large topic as well. Like, we could talk about this for ages. I'll try to summarize it as the best as I can, and the way I see it, because again, each person sees it in their own way. But so definitely the doctor has a huge role. I can actually give you an example in my own life. So I had one ear doctor, which was, he was fine. I mean, he was not amazing. He was not bad. He was just doing his job. And he advised my parents, and I think he advised okay. I have a very healthy relation with my hearing loss, but I'm also very obsessed about it in a productive way, because I try to do something about it. But then there are doctors who, I mean, doctors are people, right? And if you have a very centralized opinion, you'll get, you know, a very one-sided way of looking at things. And actually, when I, this is a story I tell, people get like, oh my God, but you know, it's the product of the times. But when I wanted to, when I was 19 and I wanted to go to university to become a specialist in sound and sound engineering and then acoustics, I was advised to at least get advised, by the best ear doctor in Portugal, supposedly. And so I did go, and he had his private practice, and I didn't have any experience with this doctor. I went one time when I was a kid, but I was like, okay, before I start my education, at least I'll have a chat with this specialist that will give me what I need to know. And basically, you know, I did the usual, like an audiogram and a tympanogram, and just like, just to check how my hearing is. And then in the end, he checks my results. And he's like, so what do you need from me? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking about doing an education in this, and I want to know your professional opinion. And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, what? Well, I don't think you should do that, because you'll never be like people with normal hearing. You'll never be good enough for it. Or, you know, this kind of approach. I don't remember the exact words he used, punched me in the face, you know, like,
absolutely.
This is reality.
Yeah. I had some of those comments too from our leaders.
Exactly.
So we'll never be a good writer.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, really? Well, because guess what? You tell me I can't do it and get out of my way. I have a feeling, Pedro. Yeah.
That's what I did. Yeah. Exactly.
So
I said, screw this guy. I am going.
Right.
I am going to do it.
Yay.
So here we are.
He was a wonderful leader. He was a wonderful leader to you,
right.
A wonderful mentor, because he mentored you to tell you, oh, no, you can't do that, Pedro. And you're like, oh, really? Oh, really?
Here we are now, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say. It's like it's very centralized. At least it used to be. Now, maybe there is more information out there, but I'm not sure about employers and I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, it's trickling. And employers aren't there. And I was deliberate when I was saying that. And educators are trying, but it should be coming from the people. But we just were trying. We just wanted to remind the audience.
Yeah.
It's still
there's a lot to do, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do, right. So, all right. So now let's talk about what really dig into what you're doing. Because before we got on air, you told me something I didn't know. I'd love to learn. About the bone conduction versus, and I'm going to let you explain.
Yeah,
that,
of course. All right, sure.
Yeah.
So,
well, experts, thank you.
Yeah, cool. So let's start with the ear anatomy a little bit, just so you understand. So you have different ways you can lead sound into the inner organ of the ear, which is called cochlea. And you can either go like using air propagation and then hitting the eardrum, hitting the little bones, and then the cochlea will translate that into nerve information. Or instead of, that's the usual thing, is the air conduction way. Or you can do it via the bone conduction way, or it's actually called bone/cartilage conduction, because you can also stimulate the cartilage here next to the ear canal. So the bone/cartilage is essentially, yeah, exactly. So if you do this and you can hear it, you know, you're actually hitting the mass there, but you can still hear it. And that's bone conduction. So the sound is going directly from there into the inner part of the ear. So it can bypass some of the ear anatomy and go structurally there. So that has its advantages for many people, because like until this point, or until, I mean, there is some hearing aids in that area, but most hearing aids are for air conduction purpose, like, you know, air conduction related hearing losses, and that's also the majority of the hearing losses. But you still have hundreds of millions of people who would rather have a conduction induced amplification, so a hearing aid that goes directly through bone or cartilage. And you do have some stuff out there that does that.
And Pedro, I know that we have my family has a history of it. My father-in-law became deaf much later in life. He was losing it along the way, but by the time he was in his late 80s, he had lost his ability to hear at all, and he was in a different state from us. So I remember the options were so confusing for someone who had aged into this. Now, my husband, my beautiful late husband, he also had severe hearing loss and did wear hearing aids.
Right.
And it was so interesting learning about that. But I'm just curious, are you finding that there are certain part of the populations that are left out even more if they lose their hearing later in life?
That's a very good question. So this is what you call age-related hearing loss. And actually, those people are the ones who are the most addressed because because that's also the majority, I would say. So the ones that are more left out are the ones that have all the other kind of hearing losses. Because like if you have a normal hearing throughout your life, and then when you're older, it kind of goes, I mean, it's natural, you know, and for some people more than other people. But I mean, most people will have some kind of hearing loss when they're older, especially in the high frequencies. So all, you know, bird sounds and all that.
Women's voices.
Correct.
My husband can hear women's voices. I'm like, wait a minute. All right. So you're not ignoring me.
Right. Yeah. So normally, the one who's the happiest one is the wife after they get the hearing aid. Like, finally, can hear me again. I told you so many times and you didn't listen.
I told you, right? You're not listening to me, right?
Yeah,
for me,
exactly.
For me. Okay,
but that kind of hearing loss is the one that is most addressed. But you have so many different kinds. So like I was saying, also. You have inner hearing losses. It's called sensory neural hearing losses. Those are the main hearing losses, which is mainly in the internal organ. But you can also have problems with the bones in the middle ear, or in the eardrum, or in the ear canal if you have an ear deformation. So it's all kinds of So and for different kinds, different solutions, right?
That's why we have to deal with the experts, engineers like Pedro. So anyway, okay, Pedro, so tell us about what you're wearing.
Right. Okay. So actually, I also should be quite clear that this is not a hearing aid, and it's actually still not for hearing purposes. This is mainly for consumer purposes at this point. But there's also a strategy to that because stigma. So for example, now you have, for example, the AirPods are a very good example. I don't know if you know, but now you can do hearing amplification with the AirPods Pro. And that's a way to destigmatize something, right? Because it's a consumer product. Mm-hmm. Anybody uses it. You could be wearing
it. It's good for all of us at times.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's just like glasses, right? So that's the approach. I mean, this is bone conduction headphones. But it will also be used for hearing purposes later. But in the beginning, like I told you before, I did a crowdfunding, which we sold close to 500 units. And we are almost delivering those. People have been very patient and very kind. It never goes completely how you expect, but that's just development of hardware and software can be like that. Tell me.
It's just hard to do it because there's a lot of complications when you're dealing with hardware and software.
Exactly. So basically, like it has this system. It's a patented system where you basically clip it onto this part of your ear called the tragus.
What part of the ear is that? Right.
It's called the tragus.
For those.
So then.
The tragus, and that's that little, for anyone that can't see it. So that's just that little part.
Right.
That,
it's like this little part here, right?
Yeah. And then, it sticks out. It's the one that's closest to your hairline for anyone that can't see.
Exactly.
It's just the little. I know. Isn't that terrible? We can't describe our ears. So it's not the round.
Yeah.
The part that's
it's this little cartilage that is in front of the ear canal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Just for those.
No, of course, of course. I'm sorry, I didn't describe it. So then you have this kind of clipping mechanism that it actually was inspired from a clothes peg, you know, where you hang the clothes.
I do.
Right. So I literally was like relaxing and sitting, and then I was thinking, oh, wait a minute, what if I try that? So I actually picked one up. Obviously, it hurt a lot, but it was just a test. Right. So
it doesn't pinch as hard as
that. Right, yeah. Exactly. So I put a lot of effort just perfecting this system so that it's comfortable with the right materials, the right pressure, the right distance. So that I clips effectively. So it's a earphone looking. It's like a round thing. It's around 30 millimeters or so. You just clip it on the tragus and off you go. And then you can listen to the music with a sound quality that is very comparable to in-ear headphones, like your regular headphones you would use, but with the advantage that your ears are open, so you can be completely aware of everything that's going on. Wow. So that's also really good. Exactly. And also for visually, for people with visual loss, they also benefit because they really depend on their hearing, but they might still want to listen to something at the same time. Right. So
I also find the ones you put inside your ear canal hurt me.
Right, exactly. There's also that, and definitely that.
I mean, it's just a little, but having an option for everybody else is because sometimes we all have hearing, you know, we can't hear for a lot of different reasons.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So that's cool.
Exactly.
Well, if I have a choice, I may as well get yours.
Absolutely.
So that I can use it or not.
That's the beauty of headphones as well. Like nowadays, you can have different types of headphones for different purposes, right? So, I mean, while the phone, you have one and that's it. But the headphones, you know, this one is for biking, this one is for the work, and, you know, vice versa. You just, they have different functionalities, and there's room for everybody, I would say. If you can give a value proposition that is good enough compared to everything else, right? Yeah.
So, Pedro, would I ever wear it with my hearing aids?
So the goal here in the long run is to also do amplification, or I would rather say not amplification, but sound enhancement with this itself. So you would not, and it also depends on the degree of hearing loss, of course. But for the beginning, you could say mild or mild to moderate. Which is on, you know, the more amplification you need, the harder it gets to make the product. I mean, so we have to start somewhere.
You're not trying to do away with hearing aids, but
no.
I do think an interesting thing is I'm just going to think about my husband. My husband didn't want to wear hearing aids.
No, exactly,
but you would have been attracted to your product because your product would allow him to hear what he needed to hear when he needed to hear. I'm just using one example.
Exactly.
And it would allow him to grow with it as his hearing needs changed.
Correct.
And it's not something that is sadly a stigma associated with it.
Exactly.
So, I think it would have been a really good solution for him.
Thank you.
And I just want to mention too, in the United States, I had to pay $6,000 out of pocket to get the hearing aids. We don't get our hearing, and we're finding that in the States.
Correct.
There's a lot of beautiful work being done. You know, I know some of the players that are doing it, but the reality is we don't get access to hearing aids if you don't have money.
Correct.
And I don't have a lot of money, but that's ridiculous. So that's another reason why I think what you're doing is very powerful. So I just wanted, you know, to point that out.
Thank you.
So I know that you have a couple of angel investors,
yes,
and that is such a blessing. And you were able to do some crowdfunding and stuff. But I know you're probably like a lot of entrepreneurs in that funding is a huge issue. So How can we help you, Pedro? How can we help you get this, you know, out and to market? And because I do think it's a very good idea what you're doing. And I love that you're a deaf sound engineer. I think that is cool. Oh,
thank you, Deborah.
Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. I can definitely be an engineer and a sound engineer. So that's
and I'm probably cool. One of the most critical people listening to stuff as well. So
your next.
I was kind of a pain in the butt when I was working for the hearing aid companies, because I would go back to the engineers who did specific algorithms and go like, you got to work on this stuff.
right. Because that's what I found. My husband, it did help, but he also found it very complicated and hard to use. And oh, this has to happen. And oh, don't forget to.
Right.
He really, and also, he was walking dementia, which didn't help. But at the same time, you know, as we get older, you know, cognitive also, you know, there's just some realities associated with our getting mature people.
Exactly. So, and they're actually associated as well. Hearing loss and dementia, they're kind of associated to each other. So
misdiagnosed sometimes.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, complicated and we know it. But the reason why I wanted to tell y'all what Pedro was doing, because in the first place, it's amazing, but also we need to help him. We need corporate brands to get behind him. He needs grants. He needs funding. We need to get behind him. He has agreed, thank you, to be part of Billion Strong. So we'll make sure that we put out on Billion Strong what he's doing. But how do we get behind what he's doing? Once again, Pedro's available to speak. He's a very good speaker. Whether or not he likes to do it, it doesn't matter. He's good at this.
Thank you.
And I just really think it's important that our entire community get behind and support groups like what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, but that's just what I think.
Yeah.
What do you think? How can we help?
Yeah. So doing a startup, I mean, creating a business is... it's quite something, right? So
keeping it sustainable.
So if you, I mean, this is my first business. So before this, I was an employee. You know, I didn't have much worries other than doing what I was supposed to, and then some more because I wanted to. But then I'll get the salary at the end of the month. That's not the
case. Isn't it great?
Yeah, you it's got super great. Yeah.
No matter what,
right, exactly.
They pay you whether you worked that.
Right,
But, I love being part of a corporation and getting paid no matter what.
Right.
But, it's like.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. But then, so. What
gotta
I
make a difference.
What, yes, all right, don't worry. So what got me into this is really because I really, really need to make a difference. And when you're working for other people, sometimes you don't have as much, is it leeway, you say, but there's not so much space that you can make a difference because you have a role and that this is what you do. So I had to venture into this. And just like everybody else who's starting their own business, it's a jungle out there, right? So, I normally talk about the fact that you always have kind of a structure as you grow up. You know, you have parents, and then you have a school system and a university system and a company system. But then you do your own company, and there's really no system. You just have to figure it all out yourself.
Good luck.
Right. Exactly. So it's really it's the funds that really make a difference. So that's what makes it work or not. So if you have funds, if you have enough cash, you can just focus on what matters and just get things done. If you don't have funds, you can still do a lot, but you know, the struggle is bigger because the resources are lower. So that, I mean, even though we've managed to raise close to $500,000 or so up to this point, but it's been a struggle. So we need to raise serious money now. So that's basically where we are right now. We have a product. We have made sales. People believe in this. We have a mission. So it's just a matter of continuing it by getting, like, let's say, the next round and I've been contemplating different solutions. It could be private investors, or it could be companies that want to partner up, and or like some venture funds, you know, There's different ways to do it. One thing that I, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead and then I'll ask. Sorry.
So one thing that I've noticed over the years is also that it helps if people really care about this. I mean, for the most part, it's a lot about money normally,
Really do.
I think they also have to have some kind of empathy about what this is about and the
Purpose-driven heart, right?
right,
Purpose-driven.
exactly. So it has to be the right combination because it's not just money, right? There's a mission here.
Well, and I also think there's an opportunity for technology companies to implement this in what they're doing.
Absolutely.
We have, we have voice speakers like Alexa and Siri.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
think all kind of things that could
Absolutely.
be blended. I think there's an opportunity for universities that are doing research on hearing and sound to get involved. I think there's opportunities for corporations that want to be very innovative with including people that are deaf and have hearing loss to get involved in these conversations. And we're expecting our corporate brands to get involved in things that improve society. This is one thing that
Exactly.
is going to improve society. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can help him, including going to his website, figuring what he's doing and supporting him in other ways, asking him to speak. So I think there's a lot of ways that you can do this, but we just want to make sure that you're visible so people know
Correct.
that what you're doing.
And
So go ahead.
don't get me wrong, Deborah. I mean, we're huge geeks here as well. So there's like a lot to be done. This is just one part of it. Like you just so
Right.
mentioned,
It's part of
AI and all that. I mean, definitely there's a lot of room for that kind of innovation as well. Like now you see all this ChatGPT stuff and you can, I mean, there's so much progress that can be done in the audio place, a kind of putting AI and audio together. And implementing that in daily life, especially if you have your ears open, because I can talk with you can talk with me, and we can hear the AI or whatever we want to hear, and make that useful for daily life. So there's
I
different,
agree.
yeah, there's different ways we can
I agree. And
innovate.
we see corporate brands stepping up to help groups like you. We really are. That's one reason why I wanted, first of all, to show how you are part of our community, your walk, but at the same time, I think this is a huge opportunity. And I know we are going to help him at Rue Global Impact, and he's going to be part of Billion Strong because we're stronger together. We're stronger together.
We
But
are.
so Pedro, tell us how we can find you. I know you have a website. Give us your website. Are you, I think you and I met on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn, but so, but tell the audience how they can find out more about what you're doing.
Right. I mean, easy way, just go to the website oracle.io. If you want to get
And spell that for us.
in what, sorry?
Well, you'd might, I'm so sorry. Do you,
Oh,
there's a
yes, of
little bit of
course.
delay.
It's A.
Will you spell?
Yes, it's AURICLE.io. And if you want to get directly in contact with me, just add me on LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest
Yes,
way.
I agree.
I'm very active on
And if
LinkedIn.
you find him, come to me. I'm on
Right,
LinkedIn.
right.
You come and
I've,
I'll connect you and
yes.
we'll add the links and stuff too. But I love what he's doing. I think what he's doing really is a game changer. Not only can we more effectively include people that have vision, have hearing loss and are deaf, this is a way to solve the problem in employment. Because we want to solve it. These are talented individuals in the deaf and hearing loss community. We want to do a better job of including them. We're not doing a good job for this part of this our community. We're doing a horrible job. So I think things like what Pedro's doing could be very innovative, and it's an opportunity. So tech companies that are listening, I think this is an opportunity. Healthcare companies, you got a role to play here. Community has a role to play, but we've got to be more innovative to make sure that people can be included all along the way. So I really, really appreciate you, Pedro, the your two angel investors that supported you, your coworkers, and those 500 people that bought the headsets too, because this is how we do it. We're stronger together. So one more time, give us your website.
Sorry. My website is oracle.io, A-U-R-I-C-L-E URICLE.io.
And he's got it behind him in case anybody
can. That's true.
Yeah. Well, in case he spelled it wrong, we would be sure to correct himself. But he probably knew how to spell it. So anyway, Pedro, I love talking to you today. Thank you so very much. And maybe you'll come back on in a few months and tell us.
Anytime.
You know, but I believe in what you're doing, and I want to help connect you to different groups so that we can keep this moving forward.
Perfect.
Because it's hard doing this all by ourselves. And Pedro, we got to do this together.
Let's do it.
So.
I'm on it.
And also, we're Billion Strong is going to do a certification program. We want you to become one of our certified entrepreneurs with disabilities.
Perfect.
And we expect the global supply chain to be supporting our entrepreneurs with disabilities. That's another way to support Pedro. He is actually part of our community. So anyway, global supply chain needs us too. So thank you, Pedro. 100%. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah. Thank you for doing this as well. It's very, very precious what you do. Just keep going.
Yes, no matter what, keep going.
All right.
So, all right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work. To learn more about Rue Global Impact, visit RueGlobal.com. And to learn more about Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring the billions of voices of persons with disabilities together, you can join the global community and donate at billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org.